So after your rookie year, what'd you do during the off season? Where did you get a job?
Oh, various things. I worked, a friend of mine got me a job down on Madison Avenue one year with a, in a dress shop. Those women drove me crazy.
Did you work for your dad, you know, and all the...
I used to go with the, my brother's band and take care of the music and arrange for the meals, you know.
Kind of the traveling secretary.
Yeah, like that. Right. I used to do it, just a little bit. And I was in high school when I was doing that, and he would, it's a way of giving his kid brother a couple of bucks. He'd make a couple of bucks that way.
So whatever you could find that you, hey, that's what I'll do, and that's way I'll get the food on the table and support a family.
Yeah. Well, I didn't get married. I didn't get married.
Oh, you weren't married then?
No,
that time.
I wasn't married.
Well, when did you marry your wife then?
1936.
Okay, so you've been in pro ball about 5 years.
Yeah, that's right. That's why when they came to me to go to Florida with the Redcaps, I had no wife or nothing to keep me from going. I said, yeah, I just went for the heck of it. And let me tell you what happened. We played a game that they're still talking about, because they were talking about that at Ashland. They were talking about this game. My wife and I walked into the room. All the players were sitting around, and they were talking, and something they said, they mentioned McDuffie or something like that. And I said, when I got the drift of what they were talking about, I said, I played in that game.
What game is this?
That game was played between the New York Penn Redcaps and the Jacksonville Redcaps.
And what was special about
it? In Jacksonville, Florida. It was special because it was an 18-inning game, and both pitchers that started the game finished. And that's what these guys were talking about. The both pitchers pitched the whole 18 innings. And had the two teams were excellent fielding teams, good batting teams, two excellent teams. And they played 18 innings, and the score was 3-2, I think.
3-2. What year was that?
That would have been 1933, 1934, somewhere along there.
And where was this field in Jackson?
Now, wait, let me tell you something.
Okay.
The up at Cooperstown, they have memorabilia. And the memorabilia, I donated the memorabilia because I thought it was going to Ashland, Kentucky. They were supposed to have a Hall of History, black ball players Hall of History. So I donated a magazine, copy of a magazine, and that glove, and the glove is on display up there now in Cooperstown, and several other things that I had. In that that magazine, it tells of this game that went 18 innings.
So
they have that up there.
About a 3-2 game, tight defense.
Yeah, very good. Those guys
played hungry.
They talk about in that magazine story, there's a talk about the center fielder, how far back he ran to make a catch. Dolly Gray, I don't know, we had some great guys to play center field. One of my friends who was a great center fielder just died recently. I met him at Ashland, Kentucky in the reunion. Buddy Burbage played with the Philadelphia Stars and the Magnet Giants.
Where was this ball field in Jacksonville? What ballpark was it? Is it still around nowadays?
Gee, I don't know.
Okay.
I have no idea.
Okay. I didn't know if you'd been up there in recent years.
But I have a copy of that here. Uh-huh. It was just lucky that I had my big son make a copy of that page by page of that magazine somewhere in one of these books.
Okay. So... what was the big play that broke the game? Some play you pulled off at shortstop or third?
No, I was playing second base.
Second base.
Gee, I don't even remember. I don't know how that game ended. But anyway, you see, we had to score, and then we had to keep them from scoring, which was kind of rough. But if we had two excellent fielding teams, and they made a lot of great plays. But you see, they were all hepped up because we were from New York, playing them in Jacksonville.
They were going to try to show you up.
That's right. That's right.
We'll teach those Northerners a thing or two.
Yeah, that was a great game. And as I say, in Ashland, they were talking about that game. When
Why was Ashland, Kentucky picked as kind of the black baseball capital, or they were going to build a Hall of Fame? Why was that city picked out?
That's a good question.
I would think maybe New York City or Montreal.
It wasn't
or,
picked.
Oh.
It just happened. You have to help me, Ida.
I was just wondering that same thing.
You have to help, because she went to all the reunions in... in Ashland.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, she went with me.
No.
It started, and this is the best I can do with this now. It started, it revolves around Clint Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
Clint Thomas was sick or something, and Joe Morgan, the Cincinnati second baseman.
Yes, uh-huh. Just inducted in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, right. Joe Morgan went to visit Clint, and he said, "I'm going to hit a home run for you, Clint." You know, and sure enough, he hit the home run, and that made the paper.
Uh-huh.
And then, they interviewed Clint, and he said, "Well, the only thing I miss seeing the fellas. I'd like to see the fellas I play with, especially Teddy Page. I'd like to see Teddy Page. The other guys used to play with the Black Yankees." I read an article about this long in the paper, and I said, "Oh my God, there's my friend," and she's the one. She and I didn't. You know, Kentucky. What do I want to go to Kentucky for? Right?
Yeah.
That's below the Mason-Dixon line.
Because I've never been there
before. So she said, "Well, I think you ought to go because, it's your friends and everything." I think she got a hold of Monty Irvin, because Monty's a friend of mine, too. Right? Did you call him or send him a letter or something? And he said, "Oh, my God," he said, "make sure that he goes." That's what Monty told him.
Because I insisted on going.
Yeah.
Who knows what's going to happen.
So Monty said, "Make sure that he goes, because those guys, they want to see him."
Because I've heard all my...
She heard all these stories.
Yeah. I wanted to see if
so that's how it worked. That's how it worked out, and we went to the fresh reunion. We've been going to them ever since.
Ever since.
I walked by this guy 30 times. I walked by him back and forth. I didn't even recognize the guy, and he was one of my best friends when we played ball. The Cuban fella. And I got a Christmas card.
Here.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of Cubans that played on these teams rather than just black men. A lot of Cubans came up and played?
Well, they had, I played with the Cuban Stars.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I played with Jose Rodriguez. You know Jose Rodriguez? He used to play with the Giants.
Yes.
The first baseman.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was a manager. He played with the New York Giants, right?
Mm-hmm.
He managed the Cuban Stars. I played with them. People don't realize we had some great ball players play for those teams. One of our pitchers with the Cuban Stars played with Cincinnati for years, right-handed pitcher. Tommy De La Cruz.
Yes.
You know him?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he played with that same team. We all played together with the Cuban Stars.
So you played with the Black Yankees, then you went over to Brooklyn during the Depression.
Yeah, yeah.
And you stayed with Brooklyn?
I played with the Brooklyn Royal Giants for 1 year, maybe a year and a half. And then I went to whoever. You know, in those days... the ball game, people were always coming over. "Hey, kid, who's at Selborne, Philadelphia, or in Pittsburgh, you know, they would like you to contact them, you know. So another year I went over and I played in Philadelphia with the Bacharach Giants, played with them.
The Bacharach Giants?
Bacharach Giants, yeah. They come originally from Atlantic City, but in those days I'm talking about, they were playing in Philadelphia. So I played with them for a year. Mm-hmm. This was just, I was just testing the waters. Now let me tell you, I'm from the New York, New Jersey area. So now I go and I play with the Bacharach Giants in Philadelphia,
mm-hmm.
which was great. You play all around Philly, Delaware, all around Pennsylvania. A lot of baseball around.
Yeah.
Well, this I knew. That's why I went. Every weekend, we were back in Jersey or New York. Had blue laws in Pennsylvania.
That's right. I did. No game, no inning after 5 o'clock on Sunday or something like that.
No baseball. Nothing. No, we left there Saturday morning and didn't come back till Monday. No, you didn't, they weren't even, you didn't play baseball on Sunday in those days. Now I'm talking about early.
Yeah.
Maybe later on they had, I think that's when they started to loosen up a little bit, you know.
That's right.
But no, you didn't play no baseball in Philadelphia. In the state of Pennsylvania.
That's right.
You didn't play no baseball on Sunday. No siree. Blue Lords.
You bet, yeah.
Yeah. So I was right back home, and that's why I left them. And I said, well, what the heck, here I am. I'm right here where it is, and why, you know, so I stayed around Jersey. The rest of my career, I stayed around New York and New Jersey playing ball.
Well, tell me, I remember the American Negro Baseball League, national and all that. We had Kansas City Monarchs. We had the Indianapolis Clowns. We had a Pittsburgh Barons, I think, or the Birmingham Barons. I forgot Montreal's nickname, mascot, what have you. We had a team out of Chicago. And they toured. They went on
Chicago
buses,
American
trains.
Giants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they went around the way Major Leaguers and AAA and all the other teams. They went, played two or three games. You didn't do it that way? I thought
that's what you call barnstorming.
No, there was a regular league.
Oh, yeah, there was a league, but a lot of these other teams were not in the league. They started this league a little later, too.
Okay.
The years we're talking about.
Okay.
They had leagues and they weren't successful. Then they started an East and a West League. Now, I didn't go for that. And I don't want to put it on here, and I'll tell you the reason I didn't go.
You want me to shut this off?
Yeah.
Okay. Wait a minute.
Because,
you played under different names?
Barrio.
Why did you do that?
Well, they wanted to give me a Cuban-sounding name. I was playing with the Cubans.
What, for integration?
No, they gave it. They gave it. I played on the Fino.
Did they have a lot of the Cuban?
They had the Cuban teams. Team would be made of about half Cuban team and half American players. The Cubans, contrary to what you might think, were not that good.
Mm-hmm.
So they needed. They needed to be bolstered by.
So they had to bring in some talent, so they gave those guys like you Cuban names.
That's right, yeah. Oye, muchacha, arriba, arriba. Where do you think I learned that?
So you picked up a little Spanish on the side?
Sure.
So you did this, now we're getting up to World War II.
Well, World War II, I worked at Curtis Wright. Operation.
So you quit playing baseball during World War II and went to work?
No, I played with the baseball team.
All through the war?
Yeah. Well, several years through the war. I worked through the war.
And you worked with whom?
Curtis Wright Corporation. We had big leaguers on there, on the team. We're all jumbled up together. Jack Phillips?
Yeah, I've heard of him.
Played with the Yankees.
Yeah.
Ed Sanicki played with the Philadelphia Phillies. They're we all worked and played at Curtis Wright. I can show you a picture if I look through my books,
uh-huh.
Which would be hard.
could take a month.
So you just kept doing it during the war, and a little bit of barnstorming, pick up a few extra ducks.
I played extra ball, too, during the war. I played down in West New York. They used to play twilight ball, and I went down there and played twilight ball.
What were you better known, as a fielder or a hitter, or both?
I think I was a very good fielder.
What would you like to be known fielder. As for your baseball? As that you would say,
well,
hey.
I just saw this today. This interview I did a long time ago, and the guy asked me the same thing, and what I told him was that, well, I always led off. Whatever team I played with, I was a leadoff man.
So you got on base a lot.
I was on base a lot. And I scored a lot of runs.
So you were fast.
Yeah, but there's more than that to running bases.
Such as?
You have to know what you're doing. What happened to, in the World Series, to the Braves left field, Lonnie...
Lonnie Smith?
What happened to Lonnie Smith?
Two things. One is he lost track of the ball.
That's it. Lost track of the ball. Because that play, the ball is in front of you.
That's right. Your eyeballs are out there.
You can see it. That play, I said, when these guys were talking about a lot of baloney, I said, there's only one thing could have happened to Lonnie. He lost the ball. And they say you can do that in that stadium.
Yeah.
You can lose that
ball. Well, all those white handkerchiefs?
Yeah. He lost the ball. When you're going from first to second, the play is right in front of you.
That's right.
I'll tell you what happened. This is a true story now. I was playing with a team from Jersey City. And I was the manager of this team. I put myself as the second batter. Because they had their team for years and they had their leadoff man.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, let him lead off. I would bat second because I was a good bunter. I could bunt. Get him down to second. Well, the guys on the team... Howard, they wanted me to lead off. So what can I do? I said, all right, just to keep peace in the family. Mm-hmm. I said, all right, so I led off. And I put this guy second, put the leadoff man second. Okay, in the first inning, now we're playing a tough team down in New Brunswick, New Jersey. This was a Sunday game, but it was the Rutgers baseball team, the whole team.
Mm-hmm.
In those days, the colleges had good, very good teams. So I get on base in the first inning, and he's supposed to bump me to second. Well, he messed up. He didn't bump me to second. So now...
You're still on first.
I'm still on first. So I let the batter know that I was going to steal on his second pitch. And I went, because I could steal a base too. So I'm heading for second. He hit the ball to left field on the line. Well, I never even slowed down until I touched home plate, because I could see the ball right in front of me. And by the time the ball hit was out in left field, I was a step or two from second. So I hit second, third, and home. You know what the score of the game was?
1-0?
1-0.
But you made that decision in a split second.
Right. 1-0 was the score of that game.
Now, if Lonnie had lost, when he lost that ball, don't you think he should have looked over to third base coach?
No. You don't have time. You don't have time for that. You're on a play like this. It's like that. You either do or you don't, and he didn't, and that's where he messed up.
Yeah. And he's going to have a long win.
On a play like that, you don't need a manager, you don't need a coach, you don't need a mother, a father, or anybody. That's up to you and you alone. That's why I'm telling you this story that just happened, where we won this 1-0 game. There was only one thing that I had in mind. That ball was out there in left field, and by the time I rounded second, I had my speed up, right? So you touch third and home like that. So I knew what I was going to do. I didn't even look at the coach at third. And the score of that game was 1-0.
And that split decision, makes up the whole ball game, or that makes the difference.
It's the difference, yeah. And as I say, I had myself in the lineup batting second, but they hollered, "You guys wanted me to leave off, so I went to the leadoff spot."
So after the war, World War II, you went back to playing baseball?
I played a little. I played until 1946, 47.
Mm-hmm. By that time, you had a family.
And I had a house. And I think the house is... The house is why I stopped playing ball. I was standing out there one day on the ball field, and I was thinking about the different things I had to do. I think it's time for me to stop this stuff.
House needs painting. Yeah. You got to fix that window.
That's right. That's true.
Uh-huh. And Ida was saying, you can hear Ida screaming at you.
Right. I think that was one of the reasons. I was 36 then, you know.
You were 36 when you quit playing.
36 or 37, and somewhere in there. And I think I think about it all the time. But I was in good shape. I was in very good shape.
You know, little league in between.
Well, no, there wasn't little league at that time.
No,
they didn't have
little league. Came much later.
Well, what happened was that the kids in the neighborhood, that includes my oldest son, he and his gang, right? Uh-huh. They knew I was a ball player, of course. And they'd see me on Sunday, gone. So they wanted me to coach the team. I said, well, time to quit. I got this team together. And the team was composed of kids who were in my oldest boy's school, which was Roosevelt School in Englewood, New Jersey. So guess what the name of the team was? And whenever I see any of the kids, we laugh. We have a good laugh about it. The Roosevelt Rough Riders.
Roosevelt Rough
Riders. We didn't ride roughly over anybody, but we had a good team.
And so you...
I had that team. Let's... Let's say 47, I said I stopped. All right, here's the Little League from 1950 to 59.
So for almost 10 years, you coached Little League.
But this is before Little League. Uh-huh. I had the Roosevelt Rough Riders. We played in 1948 and 49. And I believe that is why the city of Englewood started Little League, because they knew... They had the interest, because I had to go to the Board of Recreation to get a permit to use the field, mm-hmm. which we played on. And by me going to the board, they knew that they had interest in the baseball for the kids. So then in 1950, they started Little League.
And I you're a major part in what we know as Little League today.
Well, in that part of New Jersey, yeah.
Well, probably that in the entire nation.
Well, I believe that the Roosevelt Rough Riders had something to do with that because we had to, as I say, I had to get the permit to use the field, mm-hmm. which I did every time. And the city used to give me bats uh-huh. and balls and catcher's equipment. Yeah. They gave me that for this little team.
Cleffy, are you superstitious? Because I always heard that baseball players are superstitious.
Yes. To a certain extent.
Did you have a habit or two that that was peculiar to you when you went off or when you came up to bat or when
no,
you
what
went
you
out?
No, what you do, if you get up there and you hit the ball good, you hit it over the fence or something, you remember something that you did just before that and uh-huh. you say, well, I'll try that, maybe that'll work again.
What size bat did you use?
I use an average about a 32.
About 32 ounce?
Yeah.
Okay, because in those days they use a lot heavier bat than they do nowadays.
I think so. Because now you take us, we're playing with different pitchers. You know, you ever hear of Johnny Murphy?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Johnny Murphy was a great pitcher for the Yankees, right? We used to bat against him. You again, John, you see him all the time when he was going to Fordham. Uh-huh. And, of course, if you look at the lineup, you'd never see his name because they played under a different name. But you play with guys like that who are throwing that ball a mile a minute, you don't go up there swinging like they do today. You kind of wrist it more.
Yeah.
So you could use a heavy bat for that.
Yeah.
And the heavier the bat, the more the, line drives.
Yeah. And hitting it to different fields.
And you're playing against different fields, different pitches, different type of pitching, different umpires, and every, you know what I mean? You mm-hmm. couldn't go up there swinging like you want to hit the ball over the fence.
Yeah.
You'd go up there just to hit the ball.
What kind of ball glove did you use? You say you gave it to the Hall of Fame?
They have it, yeah, they have it.
It just barely fits your hand.
Small.
You didn't have these big bushel baskets.
Oh, no. No, I don't see how these guys. I watched a guy on TV the other day. He had the big glove. And he went down like that and he tagged the runner. And the ball was still on the ground. Mm-hmm. You see? You don't even know when you catch the ball. Now, on my glove, I knew when I had the ball.
Yeah. You can feel it.
Right here, in the fingers. Yeah, right.
Now,
I have a glove in here, but.
Now, when you played second and shortstop, did you try to really spook the umpire by kicking dirt and not actually hitting the bag in a double play, or did you really just kind of skim it? Or
if possible, you'd try to touch the bag.
A lot of times you'd kick up a little bit of dirt and so that the umpire couldn't see it.
It's according.
You
try to touch the bag. Like I was... She's the one catches the brunt of everything. Cause she and I are watching the game.
Uh-huh.
And I always tell her, remember when David, the big kid, missed third base?
Hmm.
Atlanta World Series.
Oh, yes. Justice.
Justice. Remember when he missed third?
Yeah, he missed third.
And I was hollering. I said, even my little leaguers wouldn't do that because I taught them to step right in the middle of the bag.
Not on the edge?
No, not. That's why. That's why you do that. So the umpire can't say you missed the bag.
No, he can't say that.
No, step in the middle of the bag and it helps you turn, too.
Oh, does it?
Yes. It helps you turn.
Make a sharper turn.
Yes. Yes. It helps you. If you hit the bag here with your left foot and you come over. Of course, it's easy for me to say that because that's how we play football. That's how we run in football. Crossover.
Uh-huh.
Crossover, you change your direction.
So you have a sharper turn so you don't
sharper
run
turn.
So you don't run way out of the base path.
Yeah. She as I say, takes the brunt of everything.
Well, you know when Justice did that, he knew that he had missed that bag.
Yeah, yeah. But you're in, and a lot of times what can cause you to miss it is you stumble. Mm-hmm. Or you're throwing off stride or something mm-hmm. like that. But if possible, as I told my wife, I said, even my little niggas wouldn't do that because they're taught to step in the middle of the bag and that helps you make that turn.
And you got the brunt of all that criticism,
oh,
didn't you?
Okay.
She gets it all the time.
Do you think the guys are going up in the majors too quick today?
I don't know where they're going to get people to play in these expansion teams.
I don't either. Well, we know it'll be a dilution of quality.
Yeah.
And they'll stay in the minors maybe 1 or 2 years at most.
Yeah. Well, and as you know, when I asked you that question before, no, it had nothing to do with you, but I know, everybody knows what they think of the average black ball player. But I played, I don't know whether you know anything about this or not, but I played. My coach was one of the finest coaches in the world.
What's his name?
David Tobey. You may know him from basketball. He was the highest ranked basketball official in the old days. He's in the one of the mm-hmm. first people that went into the Basketball Hall of Fame.
David Tobey.
David Tobey. T-O-B-E-Y.
And what did he teach you?
Everything about baseball. He was also a baseball coach at DeWitt Clinton. Great man.
Hmm. So you tip your hat to him?
To him, right.
Let me ask you, for this is going to the Hall of Fame. This will be transcribed. I will make copies of this tape for whatever number you want for yourself, for your children. So this is going to be the official archives of the Hall of Fame. What did I not ask you that I should have asked you? Or you thought I would ask you?
Well, that goes back to when I said I'm going to interview you now. I just wanted to know what you thought of the average black ball player, because I know that...
But I'm different. I know something about baseball.
Yeah. I know that they had good coaching, and I know that they're all highly intelligent. Most of them are college graduates. In fact, when we were at Ashland, this man came over and we had a nice talk. He was 94 years old. He had played with the Lincoln Stars, and he was a dentist in Baltimore. Remember that?
Yes. Tall.
Tall.
Man.
And he said, the only reason I'm here is because my sons made me come. He was 94 years old of age.
And he was a dentist.
He was a dentist. Mm-hmm. And I think he said Baltimore.